Good evening. I've learned the definition of an experience of a new word. Full or like stuffed to the gills. It's like you eat so much you don't want to see any more food. Or has anyone ever experienced that before in their life? It's the first time I've ever done it in my life. No, it's not. Christmas. I have actually a term of endearment I use on my wife, and it has to do with Christmas. I call her, you know, like sometimes you say sweetie, I don't say that, or I don't say honey. I call her Christmas tree, because she's got so many gifts. I say Christmas tree. I'm lying. Oh, no, she does. She has so many gifts. It's amazing. Is she here tonight? Okay. Actually, I do want to speak about gifts tonight. And I'm just going to be in 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, Father, bless our ears and the center of our being tonight that we would hear from you. In Christ's name, amen. Amen, Leah. Pastor Ellis is over in India, isn't he? Yes, he is. These guys singing, you know, it's amazing. Like, you know, you imagine where they came from, the 17th district or district in Budapest, in Brazil, you know, and they're singing here. It's how a lot of our churches are. You know, we have a couple people singing. John Sabo this morning, who knows Adrian Edler? John Sabo taught Adrian Edler how to play the piano. And when he played this morning, that's like all we had for music in Berlin. And when he was playing this morning, I thought I was in Berlin. It warmed my heart. And it was another thing. I haven't been here for a Christmas service, I think, for like a lot of years, maybe like 18 or something. And we had candlelight service. The way we had it in Berlin was we had no electricity. We turned off no electrical lights were allowed. And it was just candlelights. You know, we had candles everywhere. Outside, you come in, there's candles. Candles down the aisle, around the pulpit, it's just like candles, you know what I mean? And our candlelight service, everyone gets a real candle. You know, it's got this little piece below with the wax, and, you know, it's just like, so when we were going to candlelight service this time, I was like, you know, it's in my mind. I said, that's candlelight service. And I came in here, I got that little battery-powered light. I was like, I had to adjust to that. It was funny. Let's see, 1 Timothy, the gift, you know, we know about grace from Christmas because we, you know, no one ever leaves a gift unwrapped. You know, is anybody saving any gifts for next year? Did you like save one? And it's like, I'm going to leave it for next year because I'm afraid I won't get one. Did anybody do that? We don't do that, do we? We don't do that. We could do that with our life, though. We could do that with our life. Paul is telling Timothy here in verse 14 of chapter 4 in 1 Timothy. He says, neglect not the gift that is in you. Don't be careless with the gift that is in you, which was given you by the prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Don't neglect it. And then turn over to 2 Timothy, and this is, Pastor Shabelli made reference to this verse today, these verses. I just want to read them and maybe make a few comments on them. Look at this, chapter 1. Chapter 1 and then verse 5. And when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith. Do we know what that is? Unfeigned faith? Unfeigned faith is something that is, it's not disassembled. It's like Legos. You know, Legos, you know, this comes in all kinds of parts. And this is our love. This is our all kinds of parts. And you follow the directions. And you just, the parts, they're just chaotic, you know, in a little bag. You know, this is the way our life is. It's just, you know, it could be chaotic. But something happens over time as we follow the directions, those chaotic pieces, they form something, and it forms an object. It performs a conclusion. And he's saying, like, your love hasn't disassembled, it hasn't crumbled. Like, you didn't take it. You know, when you put it together, the Lego on Christmas Day, you didn't disassemble it, you know, and take it to grandma's house, but you brought it together in one piece. And this is unfeigned faith. It says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, in your grandmother Lois. Wow. Remember Pastor Pete spoke about just the generations and learning to like, you know, his mother's love and his mother's life. And like here, it's being passed down, like this unfeigned faith is being passed down from Lois to Eunice to Timothy. And then mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it's also in you, Timothy. Therefore, I put thee in remembrance that you stir up, and this is stir up the gift of God. And this is like to put a flame, like it goes on fire. Like, you know, every gift underneath of the Christmas tree is used. It's not saved for the next year. And imagine thinking, having this perspective, like God is going to use me someday, and I have to like organize all my gifts in the right way for God to use me someday. And we live in this fear, and that's what he's going to tell him later. He didn't want him to have this fear. He didn't want him to live in this faithlessness. But like we saw these, just an example, and like apply it in your own life. Like these two guys singing up here tonight. No, I can't. You know, I'm saving my gift. It's like, I'm going to present it like, you know, each year I got all my gifts, I'm saving. I don't know. I don't even know what gifts I've gotten over the year. They're all used up. It's just like I need new gifts every year. I don't know what gifts I got. They're all used up. And this is kind of the way Paul is telling Timothy to live. Like, use them, stir them up on fire, you know. Let them produce some heat, some action, something in your life. And it says this, the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. I was thinking, what does that mean? What does that mean, the putting on of my hands? It's like, like Timothy was available to God. Timothy was available like for God in himself. And Timothy was available for God in others. In an amazingly perfect balance. And they laid hands on him. And there's something about when we stir our gifts up in us, we're available and we're close. We're like close. We're close for people to lay their hands on us, to say, can you do this for me? Could you do this for me? Our lives are orientated. They become orientated like that when we're using the gifts that God has given us. It draws us to the body, and the body lays their hands on us, and then our gifts are used. This could be a desire in somebody's life, you know, say, this is what I want. You know, this is how we use the gifts that God has given us. Okay? And he says, He has not given us. I tell you, the greatest prayer sometimes is, I know what's wrong, God, and I agree with you what's wrong. Have you ever had that prayer in your life? And you have you know one path leads to anxiety. You know that one path is wrong. You know that one path is like the incorrect way to go. You know that you can't fix something with your flesh. You know you have to wait on God. You don't know all of the other answers. This is actually wisdom. Like, God has not given us this spirit of faithlessness. We know that that's wrong. We just know that that's wrong. It's incorrect to live like this. Some of the greatest prayers are just, God, you don't know what's right in your life. You know what's wrong. And you're agreeing with God with what's wrong. And then it says, he hasn't given us that type of timidity, but he's given us a spirit of power. This is this miraculous dunamis where we expect miracles in our life. We expect God to do something. We're at places, you know, where we're at the Red Sea, and it has to open up because the enemy is pursuing us. You know, we're at extremely low places in our life, and God has to raise us up. And we realize this. It's like we're dependent upon the dunamis, the miraculous power of God. There's you know, sin, and we need the miraculous blood and the mercy of God to make this covering over top of us. Like, God has given us that type of power to expect in our life. And then, you know, of love. This is agape. He's given us this. Well, I mean, I wasn't going to talk about that, but he's given us this agape where there's no fear. He's given us this spirit of agape where it's not dependent upon us. And we can release ourselves from those strange requirements that actually bring condemnation. And they bundle us up all on inside. But he's given us this spirit of agape that we can be loved without the conditions that we don't have to have any conditions put on ourselves to be loved, to be the object of God's love. And then of a sound mind. Like, God has given us his mind, this amazingly intricate mind that is, it's so balanced, and it's so fine-tuned, and it's so sensitive. You know, it discerns the smallest decibel, you could say. What's a way of measuring light? I don't know. What's a way of measuring light? And that decibel is sound. Nanometer, what? Light years by way of the intensity of light. Like, what? Watts, illums, whatever. You know, it's like there's a little, we recognize the smallest change of light in our soul. Like, this is a sound mind. Just like, you know, everyone says, you're in the light. No, I'm not in the light. No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Like, God has given us such a sound mind as that. And this is just this minister that Paul is preparing, and his name is Timothy, you know, for the gospel. And I'll just read just a couple more verses. Because we're talking about gifts. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. According, there it is again. Be a partaker of afflictions according to the miraculous power of God. If we have one affliction in our life, you expect the miraculous power of God to deliver you from that. It can be the detail that is irrelevant to everybody else in this room, but it's relevant to you and God, and it's disturbing to you. And it's like anybody else could perform that function, and they could glaze over that detail. It's not important to them, but between you and God, this is the most important detail of your life. And you can claim the dunamis power of God in that situation. It's important to God, and he wants to perform a miracle in your life. So, Timothy, don't neglect, you know, these gifts that were given to you by the laying of hands on by the presbytery. Like, you can function in our gifts. So I guess that's what I wanted to say. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for the gifts that you have given us, and show us how to put them ablaze and blow on them and burn them, God, for the gospel's sake. In Christ's name, amen.
Okay, would you stand, and we'll pray and prepare our hearts for Pastor Schiavelli's message. Thank you, Lord. Mm. Yes, Lord, you've given us, these things that Pastor Gary just talked about, Lord, the agape, Lord, no fear in your love, Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit and the sound mind to think with you. Yes, God. Well, those are the greatest things that we could have operating in our lives, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for Lord, Pastor Schaller, we just pray for his health and his voice and all of that. We just thank you for the messages we've heard during this season, Lord. And we just pray as we close this year that you would really speak to us, Lord, as we launch into another year. And Lord, we just thank you for the great grace and of the body of Christ, Lord, as we heard this morning, like that you gift wrapped your Son, Father, on the cross for us. And Lord, that was like, what a picture that is. We're so thankful for you gave your physical body, and now we as your body are given to the world, Lord. We thank you for those souls saved this morning, Lord, three or four, Lord Jesus, who came on Christmas morning and had a personal Christmas. Yes, the Christ in the manger moved into another heart. That's amazing, Lord. We thank you for that. We just think, Lord Jesus, with you right now, places where people are gathered together praying, just believing, just seeking your face, Lord, you would really speak to people's hearts. Speak to us right now, Lord, with Pastor Schiavelli. Lord, we just thank you for the word that you prepared for us tonight. We just ask you to anoint him mightily, Lord, that we would receive it and be quickened, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for holy days. Holy days, not of obligation, but holy days of grace and the finished work. Thank you for them, Lord. Thank you for the Sabbath rest that we live in every day. Yes, Lord, right now, just bless these moments in an amazing way. Amen.
You may be seated. Thank God. I thought your wife walked out, but she's still here. Christmas tree. Wow. There's a lot of gifts under God's tree, the cross. It's amazing. Romans chapter 1, verse 11. That was a great message by Pastor Gary, wasn't it? I love that 2 Timothy. As Paul is speaking to Timothy, and it's amazing to me, before we go to Romans 1:11, that Timothy had fear. Timidity is the word that's used there. He could easily become afraid, and sometimes you would think that maybe in the plan of God, God would have called Titus to kind of be like a leader. And yet it was Timothy who we kind of put the work into his hands. Titus also, of course, but Timothy was very unusual. Titus was the kind of person you would send to Crete, you know, break their bones. That's what he told them to do. Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. I didn't say shibelly, I said slow belly. And he would send them to Corinth when there was trouble. He would send them to Jerusalem for the test case of circumcision. It was like Titus was put into the most interesting spots. Timothy, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. And I love that. I remember years ago I spoke about stir up the gift. Anna, Zoe, Pareo. Anna, again, Zoe, life. And then Pareo, fire. Again, life's fire. Can you say that? Again. Come on, you haven't had that much to eat. Ready? Again, life's fire. Again, life's fire. And stir it up. Because if we do not stir it up, there's a lot of mess being stirred up out there and all around us and even by our old sin nature. So, Timothy, do not neglect the gift. And that means do not have a kind of a needless attitude towards it. You don't care. And stir up the gift. And it's amazing what can happen. And this is Paul's last letter. But Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 11, he said, I'm coming to Rome. Let's just read this verse. It's a great verse. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to the end you would be established. Paul was talking about imparting a spiritual gift. And obviously we know it's not a gift from Paul himself, but it is a gift of God. When we receive the person of the Holy Spirit, we receive the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit, the Son of God, the Spirit of God. And everything that the Holy Spirit has in his attributes and nature as a gift becomes whose? Who? Huh? Ours becomes mine. In other words, I have the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit. So the attributes and the ability of the Holy Spirit becomes mine. And so Paul says, I want to impart some spiritual gift. And it's a gift that comes from God. It came to Paul. And Paul, I believe, had a tremendous gift of faith. Are you with me? A tremendous gift of faith. And that's not a gift that is based upon who he is in his natural man. Because Galatians 2:20, I live by the faith of the who? Son of God. And Philippians 3:9, the righteousness that is by the faith of God. Habakkuk 2:1-5, the faith of God. It's God's faith. Are you with me? You ever hear, hopefully you don't, but you ever hear some of these name it and claim it people, and they talk as if it's your faith. You're a participator in it, but it's not my faith. It's not my faith. I once was at one of these meetings. It was a massive crowd of people, and it was a name it and claim it conference. Don't ask me why they brought me in. I have no idea. My first message was on John 11, and I lied on the stage. And I said to myself, as an illustration about Lazarus, Lazarus, raise up yourself. Claim your resurrection. And it was dead silence. Like nobody liked what I was saying. I said, Lazarus claimed his own resurrection. He named it. He named it. He was dead, and he claimed it. I'm going to have life. No, he was as dead as it goes, okay? There was no moving of Lazarus. But it was Jesus who said what? Lazarus, out now. Remember from Dr. Stevens? Out now. Come forth, out now. And he raised him from the dead. Are you with me? Do you have too much to eat? Are your eyes open?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that was good. I like that. Wow, that was a loud voice from George Hayes on that side of me. Don't be that loud on Grace Hour, though. You blow our ears out. He says, I want to impart some spiritual gift, a specific gift. And it was the faith of God that the church in Rome needed so much, that particular gift. Because everything we talked about this morning, we talked about seven gifts. The gift of biological life. How many remember what we said? Hey, the food got you? Deteriorate the mind? Do you ever notice when you eat, you can't think? No, I'm serious. I don't know what happens. Does blood rush someplace else and leave the brain? You eat too much, you're like that. Best thing is to go outside when it's like 10 below zero. That'll wake you up quick. The faith that we have, biological life. The faith. What was the second thing? Hello? Uh-oh. The faith of in the person of Christ. The gift of the person of Christ. The gift of the finished work in the cross. The gift of the gospel. The gift of the person of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the body and the gift of heaven. Anybody remember? I'm going to preach this message over again. The gifts of God. But without faith in Jesus Christ, in the finished work, in the gospel, in the Spirit's life in me, in the body of Christ and the principles there, without faith, it's impossible to what? Impossible to please God. And this is so important. So Paul says, and I believe all of us, I love when I hear preaching the Word of God from Pastor Schaller and all those years from Dr. Stevens, and you could hear faith cometh by what? Faith cometh by missing church. No. Faith cometh by hearing by the Word of God. So I need to see this gift of faith growing. It's not about somebody having a special gift of faith. We're not talking about that at all. Not that. Some people like run with that too far. But we're talking about the faith of the Son of God, the faith of the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit have faith? Huh? Does the Holy Spirit live in you? What's the problem? Very simple, isn't it? All I've got to do is yield to the person of the Holy Spirit. He says, I want to come and impart to you some spiritual gift because you're a church of 100. Listen to this. This church had 125 to 150 people, according to church history, and it was in the city that had 4 million that believed in Caesar worship. Are you with me? Incense to Caesar, bestiality, they believed in sex with animals. You think things are tough out there now. Homosexuality, lesbians, all kinds of strange things going on. Drugs, drinking, orgies, and whatnot. And Paul says, you little church, he didn't say little, you church in the middle of that, 4 million people, and the church is going to have a testimony because of faith. You know what it's like in this country when there's hardly any churches and hardly any Christians, and you know what's going on? Oh, come on, knock it off. We've got some spiritual gift. Are you listening? We've got some spiritual gift, a specific gift, and it's the gift of faith that God gives. And this is so key in our lives. 4 million people. That church was known by two C's. The Colosseum where they died and the catacombs where they were buried. Do you know that the catacombs, actually the tunnels and streets ran for 587 miles underground? They dug a city out underground. They found 6 million graves in the catacombs. Are you with me? We got it so tough. Things are, I understand what's going on. You know what that must have been like? Having to live underground? Their chapels were there. Everything was done underground in the catacombs. They found 2 million Christian graves there. And they would find on the grave sites and on the streets where they dug them out and they excavated, it would say, this was a believer in Jesus Christ. And they would give verses. They have verses on their tombstones and on their little areas where they were buried because they had tremendous faith. I want to come and impart to you some spiritual gift. This is a gift of faith. And this is how important is this needed today. As we look out there and there's so much unbelief. We live in an atmosphere of what? Unbelief. Seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily cling to us, beset us. What's the sin that easily clings to us? It's singular. What is it? Unbelief. It's like cling, you know, what was it? Did they call those things Klingons or something? Was it something like that one? The Klingons. You ever have stuff cling all over you? Like, you know, like you need to take your coat or your pants or your shirt or your dress to a cleaners because there's all these things that you just haven't got time to pick them all off. There's so many of them. They're just clinging to everything. It clings. Unbelief is everywhere. We live in an atmosphere. You work a job in the world, you go into an atmosphere of unbelief, but you bring faith into it. Amen? You go into a grocery store, it's a place of what? Unbelief. They're not in there shouting and praising the Lord in the grocery store at the cash register. They're looking at you, pay up and don't complain. It's an atmosphere of unbelief. Hello? You go to Washington, D.C., you're definitely in an atmosphere of unbelief. Unbelief. Hello? Unbelief. And Paul says, I can bring you something that will make a difference. You will be comforted together by the mutual faith of you and me. Because I will impart to you the Spirit of God's life and help you to grow in your faith, and it will make a difference. Christmas is all about faith. Hello? Faith, right? Faith of the Son of God. I was talking to Pastor Jabulani, who lost his wife recently, and keep them in prayer. These holidays can be very, very interesting when all of a sudden somebody is gone that was so precious to you, you know. But he says, you know what? I've got to trust God. I have to trust God. I have to have faith in God. Well, I used to do a radio program every Saturday, and it was, what was the name of the program before Grace Hour? Telephone Time? Yeah, we used to do Telephone Time on Saturdays from Springfield, Massachusetts, 627 State Street. And I would be on the program, and it would be like a one-hour show or 30-minute show or 45-minute show. I can't remember. It's been so long ago. And every single program, this man would call up, and he would just say, hello, is this Pastor Shabrelli? Yes, yes. He said, this is Brother Cooley. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. He does miracles. Have faith. Have faith in God. And close the phone down. That's all he ever said. That's all. I try to ask him a question or say something. He just closed the phone down. Every day, every Saturday, Brother Cooley was on Telephone Time. Have faith in God. So one day I'm evangelizing in the middle of Winchester Square, and I hear somebody behind me singing, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. He does miracles. Have faith. Have faith in God. I said, is that you? He goes, who? I said, is that you, Brother Cooley? He goes, how did you know? I said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. It was amazing. But those little words built me. Just that little song. Sometimes I would be going through some things. Anybody here ever go through anything? Go through it then. Don't stay in it. Go through it. Oh boy, I meet people all the time. They just say, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, go through it. Okay, I'm going through a tough time. Go through it. I'm going through difficulties physically. Go through it. I'm going through a marriage situation. Go through it. Go right through it. Like in a boat, in a storm. And Jesus is walking on your water. Isn't that awesome? He says, I'm coming to impart some spiritual gift. And that's amazing. And he's talking about, you know, he's talking about to this church, some spiritual gift. And you think about it. Abraham was imparted some spiritual gift. How else could he come out of the Ur of the Chaldeans and be told by God, get thee out of thy country, away from thy kindred, and from your father's house? You must be kidding. What did you just say? Boy, you use that verse today and people are like, preach something else, will you? You're not going to preach about missions, are you? Get thee out of thy country, away from your kindred, and from your father's house. You're for me alone, Abraham. That's called what? The gift of what? Abraham took a step of what? Took a step of faith. And by the way, his faith had to keep growing. Because in Genesis 15, God said, I'm your shield, an exceeding great reward. Genesis 17, I am El Shaddai. Genesis 22, I am Yahweh Jireh, the Lord who provides. His faith would keep growing, just like ours is growing. Because we're listening to the word of God. Paul says, in Rome, you need some spiritual gift. In Massachusetts, for sure, you need some spiritual gift. If you're in Africa, you need some spiritual gift. If you're evangelizing lost people, and by the way, Friday morning and Friday night, you can come. We're going to have prayer and evangelism. What a way to bring in New Year's weekend, isn't it? Hello? If you're afraid, come anyway. We're all afraid. You can't say, I'm not going to tell you that I go out there and I've never had fear. What are you kidding me? Of course you do. But God hasn't given us a spirit of what? Fear. But of love, power, as we heard, and a sound mind. I'm afraid. John Knox said, never fear the face of clay. Just a hunk of clay. A person's just a hunk of clay, you know? I said this to him. Remember the story in Haiti? One guy was cursing Jesus. I was evangelizing. He's cursing, yelling and screaming and swearing. You couldn't even imagine what was coming out of his mouth. Just insulting Jesus. I went up to him. I said, today, right now, I said, it's 12 o'clock. I said, 30 days from 12 o'clock on this day, you're going to die. And I walked away. That was awesome. Yeah, that was the most amazing thing. Well, about 5 minutes later, he comes and says, Pastor, take back those words, please. I beg you. Take these words back, please. You got to take those words back. I said, why? He goes, take those words back. Please, I beg you, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I said, of course. Everything's fine. Don't worry about a thing. The words have been taken back. I like looking at his face, though. That was interesting. It was just an interesting thing. They say, I wouldn't use that tactic in evangelism. I wouldn't either. Never did it before, never probably will do it again. But you know what? Faith in my marriage. Faith in being a single person. Faith at the job. Faith. The faith of the Son of God. Faith that I'm growing older. Faith for my health. Faith that we could get up tonight and do two amazing songs. Silent Night in English, in Hungarian, and in Portuguese. Hey, I said Portuguese. Awesome. Wasn't that great? Well, they had to exercise faith to do that, didn't you? If you didn't, don't say it. Okay? We don't want to hear it. We don't want to listen to your unbelief. No, they mix faith. They mix faith. Listen to this. I read this story today, and it really struck me. I'm going to read it because I don't want to forget something. In 1929, Watchman Nee was in his hometown of Fuzhou. Say that. Fuzhou. Good job, Chinese speakers. Nathan, is that such a city, Fuzhou? See, thank you. Yes, verification. Fuzhou. Okay, and he met his old professor. And his old professor looked at him and said, wow, we had so much hope for you. You were the most gifted student in all of the school. He said, is this what you become? And Watchman Nee was walking with a cane. He was sick, he was weak, he was old, and he was broke. He had made no progress in his life. And he had really nothing, no success, no progress, nothing at all in his life. Old, sick, physically unable. He said, and this man comes and says that to him, is this what you've become? And you know what Watchman Nee said? For the first time, like never before, the spirit of glory came on him. And he sensed in his heart from the spirit, you have chosen the right path. You have chosen the right path. And we're still reading about Watchman Nee today, the old professor. Who knows where he is, okay? Don't know anything about him. But Watchman Nee had faith in God. Simple faith in God. And it's not like some of these heroes of faith or the people that we read about, we talk about in missions. They're no different than you or I. They're also sinners saved by grace. They also have weaknesses. They also fail. At times they want to quit. Hello? They want to say, enough is enough. I've had it. I've said that a few times. People were bringing out food today. They said, enough is enough. Get rid of these desserts. I want to be able to think tonight. Imparting. That's why you come to church, because I want to have imparted to me spiritual gifts. I want to have imparted to me through the word faith. I want to grow in my faith. I want to advance in my faith. I don't want to sit back and say, well, you know, kind of past that age, I want to have any more faith. You know, I'm just about done right about now, you know, I mean, whatever, you know. I want to have faith in God. Faith in God. Regardless of what takes place, regardless of results, some spiritual gift. And he's saying it's a spiritual gift. And the devil wants to do everything he can to take it away. He wants to cut the sources. What are the sources of faith? Faith cometh by hearing what? Hearing by the word of God. Number two, faith works by love. He wants to try to promote that God doesn't love you. Well, he does. And it's eternal. Faith works by love. We have the same spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13. The Holy Spirit is a source of faith. Jesus, the person of Christ, Hebrews 12:1-2, is a source of faith. And then guess what else? The body. When I'm around Christians, Romans 1:11, he said it, didn't he, in 12? The mutual faith of you and me. And I'm around believers, and I, when I heard Pastor Stevens, and I heard Curly Owens, and I heard these men of faith and women of faith and people speaking, and this woman says, I'm going to China, and I'm going to live in China, and I'm like, wow, China? You're going to China? It's incredible. And we find ourselves being developed in this spiritual gift. Paul says to Timothy, as Pastor Gary said, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but love from the Father, power of the Holy Spirit, and the mind of Christ. You have a gift, Timothy, from the Trinity. You have the gift of the Father's love, the Spirit's power, and the Son's mind. Therefore, you don't have to live in fear. You have the Father's love. You don't have to be ashamed, as it says three times in that chapter. You've got the thinking of the Son. You know what ashamed means? Shrinking thinking. Did you know that? The word in the Greek you can put in there for ashamed, aschunamei, shrinking thinking. When somebody's ashamed, it's because they're not thinking properly. We've got the Son's thinking. We got the Spirit's power that we can keep going. God says, I want to impart to you somewhat spiritual gift. Paul says it to the church of Rome. Because you know what's going to happen to Rome? You're going to reach all nations. You're going to bring the gospel in Romans 1:8 to the whole world. You're going to bring the gospel, Romans 1:5, to all nations. You're going to bring the gospel in Romans 1:16 to every person. What? Are you kidding me? There's 125 of us in the city of 4 million. There's Caesar worship. We got to live on the ground. Are you joking? How's that going to happen? His ways are past finding out. Romans 11:33. The depth of the wisdom and the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. His ways are past finding out. His judgments are unsearchable. Who has known the mind of the Lord, and who can be his counselor? You know what I believe happens? We said this at the lunch wrap as I'm getting ready to close. We said this at the lunch wrap Saturday. God wants to bring us from surface to depth. He wants to bring us from a surface Christianity to the depth. 42:7 of Psalms. Deep calleth unto the deep. And many times things happen in our lives. His ways are past finding out. He has ways of doing that I would never imagine. And he can say, I'm going to allow the Colosseum and the catacombs to be the place where my servants are known in Rome. But I'm going to spread this message from Rome out to the whole world. Here's Rome that had 1,000-year reign. Where are they today? Nowhere. That's right, Italy's nowhere. Sorry about that. They're nowhere. They were the power and authority in the world for 1,000 years. And Christianity is alive and growing today, and the Roman Empire has been dissolved. Are you with me? His ways are past finding out. And it was all because of some spiritual gift. God says, you know what? I want to give you some spiritual gift. And I'm going to give you the sources so you can grow in faith. And I'm not going to be satisfied with 2016's faith. Oh, 2016 was just a wonderful year. Had a great time. Yeah, we did. But I'm not going to be satisfied with that. I don't ever want to be. I'm content in God, but I'm never satisfied. Are you with me? We got 55 countries in Africa, and let me tell you something, we're going after all of them. Are you with me? Not just the 30 we're in or the 25 we're in. We're going after all of them. I'm not satisfied. Very content in Christ, but not satisfied. If you've come to a place of satisfaction, look in the mirror and then break it. No, I'm just joking. Listen, I'm content in God, but I'm not satisfied. More souls, more disciples, more churches, more growth in our personal lives. Amen? More prayers, more giving, more life, more fellowship. All because of the gift. The gift. The gift. Father, thank you tonight for the gift. Take us from surface to depth. Take us. Thank you. We stand in grace, and we have so much more. He says it five times. Romans 5:9, 5:10, 5:15, 5:17, and 5:20. Much more. Much more than where we stand. If we can stand in grace but not be a receiver and just become satisfied with where we stand and our position, but never experience the much more life of God. Oh, how sad that is. Because there's so much more. Church of Rome had the message of grace. They had the gospel message. And they took that message into a lost and dying world. Yes, there was difficulties. Yes, there were trials. Yes, there was persecution. Yes, there were problems. Yes, there were afflictions and there was suffering. Yes. But that didn't stop a small church with a big heart. And the Roman government dissolved. 1,000 years was broken, and the church is here today. We thank you, God, for some spiritual gift. Help us, God, to stir up the gift of God that is in us. Stir it up, God. Stir it up. We thank you. If you're here tonight or you're watching on the internet and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, say, Jesus, save me. Save me. Tonight, I believe in you. I want the gift of the person of the Holy Spirit. We had salvations this morning on the internet. Say yes to Jesus. Say yes to Jesus. It's a decision we make. Say yes to Jesus. Anyone here? Anyone there? Just lift up your hand, praise the Lord, and thank him. And for us that are here tonight, help us, God, to have a desire. Put it in our hearts, God, as cold waters to a thirsty soul. Put it in our lives, God, that we would fellowship with the gift given to us, the gift of the person of Christ, the work of the cross, the gospel gift, the spirit, the new man, the body of Christ, a vision of heaven as our home. Thank you, God. Help us tonight. Thank you, God. A gift-giving God. God has not given you a spirit of fear. What's he given? Love, power, and a sound mind. Therefore, we're not ashamed. We're not going to fear. We're not going to turn away. We thank you tonight. Bless our night tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.